Amen. Well, thank you, worship team, for leading us in some fantastic worship. Thank you, everybody, for being here today. And Hope at Home, thank you for watching. We're so grateful to be celebrating together in the season of Advent. And we're going to be talking about joy today. Before I get into the message, a couple quick announcements. You guys have seen the Hope Church sweatshirts. All right, well, a lot of you guys ordered them, and a lot of people still want them. So we decided to open it up again for some more orders. If you would like to order one, you can do that today. We're going to get them in quickly, probably today or tomorrow. So just let us know out in the foyer. Let Pastor Zach know. You can do it online. You can do it on the app, okay? So there's that. Just want you to know it's not too late. Also, out in the foyer today. We put these out before, but these are fun little Christmas Eve candlelight service invites. We're going to have a Christmas Eve candlelight service on that Sunday. We will not have a morning Sunday. It happens to fall on Sunday this year. You guys, please come. Invite your friends. We're going to have a wonderful time together, and there's a fun little mint in there. Maybe you want to invite yourself to come. You know what I'm saying? That's fun. All right, so there's that. All right, what a great time we had this last Wednesday. We did the Angel Tree Ministry. Yeah, and I just want to give a big thanks to everybody who made that a success once again. Jennifer Davis, thank you so much for putting all that together. Yeah. We just blessed Jennifer with a little gift card for her and her husband to go out on a date. How about that? She's been a busy lady this season. And thank you to my wife, Amanda, who was a huge help with that. Everybody who gave gifts, everybody who gave caregiver cards, and all who gave financially to that. We're just so thankful for your participation in that. And as we meet these families each time they come, many of them for the first time, who tell us about, you know, parents that are incarcerated and their kids just wanting gifts, wanting to be taken care of. Even their parents in jail want them to be taken care of. They are so thankful. Everyone has been so thankful. And so I just wanted to make sure I thank you. I think 15 families. Is that what we did? Yeah, 15 families, lots of kids involved in that. So thank you very much. As we get into joy, let's talk about this together. Are you a person of joy? Are you a person, would you call yourself a person of joy? Some of you, maybe not. How many of you this morning are just emitting joy? There are actually some people emitting. Wes, look at you, man. I can see you. From here, there's a couple other light flickery. There's some antlers back there flickering. So thanks for participating in our ugly sweater Sunday. But that's what this is. Yeah, hello. I got one on here. I hid my Star Wars characters, so they're under there. So, you know, you get the vibe from some people. I'm getting the vibe here today that there's a lot of joy in their life, then you get the vibe from some people that's a little more grinchy. You know what I mean? A little grinchy around this time of year. In preparing for this sermon, I read something the other day that really grabbed my attention. I just wanted to run with that. It said that most of the Psalms are in one form or another about joy. They're about joy. And so there's 150 of them, so I thought I'd check that out. And I looked into it, and I found that there are over 66 Psalms that actually use the word joy or some form of the word joy. Joy, gladness, delight, rejoice. These are words that are constantly repeated over and over and over in the Psalms. And if you add the word praise into your searching, all right, which really is an overflowing or an outpouring of joy, kind of what we did today, you have over 100 psalms and arguably more, right, that consist of commands and encouragements to be people of joy. People of joy. So think about that. Are you a person of joy? The Bible tells us to be people of joy. And it becomes very clear after a while, after you spend some time in the Word, that God intends for us to have joy. He wants us to have joy. The problem is, I don't always feel like a person of joy. Maybe you don't either. Joy doesn't always just flow out of me, you know? Maybe I should start wearing lights around my neck, all just everywhere. Maybe I'll be more joyful. But sometimes I even just forget. I just forget to be joyful. You ever been that way? And there are days where my joy just kind of poof. It just evaporates. And you kind of have a rotten day sometimes, right? In fact, even before I get back from taking my kids to school in the morning, my joy has evaporated. Anybody? Anybody? Yeah, just like the other day. The other day, there was this car. I don't know if you saw this. You may have if you're out on the highway every morning. There was a car completely engulfed in flames last week. Anybody drive by that and get stuck in that traffic? I mean, that was not a good day. Luckily, the people were out of the car, so I think they were all okay. But because of that, I went a completely different way home. I knew that traffic was going to be clogged going that way, so I went kind of the back roads. And as I'm passing by this hotel driveway, I'm just doing my day, and this guy, whoo, he just pulls out right in front of me, and I almost took him out. I mean, it was almost over for him. Maybe for me, I don't know. But I'm not exaggerating. It was close. Luckily, I was paying close attention. I slammed on my brakes. He did not see me at all. And I slid right behind him. I was able to maneuver just in time, get behind there. Whew. So we were close, like closer than this, you know, our windows. And he's like, oh, sorry. I'm like, it's okay. We're good. My heart's pounding, you know. I still had my joy at that point because I was alive, okay? And so was he. I was pretty happy. But it was the next guy. It was the next guy that stole my joy from me. The next guy pulled up, you know, 15 seconds later, and I'm just kind of cattywampus, you know, in this driveway because this just happened, trying to get back in. And what does he do? He gives me a honk. He said something really mean, and then he just pointed at me and gave me a dirty look. Joy gone. Poof. Just like that. And for one second, I thought about letting him know. I thought about letting him know that he took my joy that day. But I remembered quickly that I was a pastor, and I probably shouldn't do that. So, you know, that's just one day in the life of all of us, right? In the never-ending hustle of life, just going from here to there. You know, what changes joy from being just a fleeting emotion, right, based on circumstances, what changes that into being a lasting contentment in your life? Because that's what God wants for you. He wants you to be content. He wants you to be filled with joy. Says this many times in God's Word. Well, the Bible is so helpful. You've got to get in. You've got to dive into the Bible. I want to read from one of the Psalms to get some perspective on true joy. Okay, this is coming from Psalm 16, and I'm going to read the whole psalm. Let me start with the first part. It says, a miktam of David, a miktam of David. Okay, time out. What is a miktam? I have no idea what a miktam is, but neither does anyone else. Okay, I researched the word. Nobody knows what miktam means, but it's right there at the first part of this psalm. So it's a guess as to what that first word means in Psalm 16. In all the research that exists from all the scholars, okay, way above me, right, intellectually, there is only a best guess as to what this means. And the word miktam means, first, it could mean golden. It might mean golden. That's what they say. By the way, I'm going to take a guess at what this could mean, too, because since no one knows, I think I could take a crack at it and not, like, mislead you. Golden is the first possible meaning. The other possible meaning is the word engraving. Engraving, okay? Engraving. So out of, what's interesting is that out of 150 psalms, there are only six that start with this word miktam. So only six. All right, if you're interested in knowing what those are, they're Psalm 16, which is this one, and then Psalms 56 through 60. So maybe you want to check those out sometime. Those are the only six. And what scholars think that these psalms were especially good for, well, was for some reason. Possibly they were chosen because they were so good to be engraved in stone. That's why they think that. Maybe it means engraved. They thought maybe they were engraved on tablets or maybe even stamped in gold, maybe somewhere in the kingdom. So these are the psalms that we probably would put like on, in our houses, on the wall, like the good, you know, the really good ones. Some of you probably have a lot of scripture on the wall in your home, right? By your bedside or something. That could be what these psalms are. They might have been David's six favorite psalms. I have no idea. I have no idea, and neither do scholars. But they might have been the best of, because they're all with this word miktam. And so it's kind of like, you know, in music, certified gold. You know, when a song gets real well known and it sells a lot of copies, it gets this status of certified gold, and it goes up from there. That could be what these psalms are about. But here's what we know they have in common. One, they were written by David, not someone else. They were written by David. They were written about his life. They all came, the second thing is that they all came out of extremely difficult circumstances. Extremely difficult. For example, one of the miktam psalms was when the Philistines took David at Gath. He was running from Saul, and he ran to the Philistines, but they captured him, and he had to act crazy. Remember that? That was one of these. Another opens up, and it says it was when he had to flee from Saul, who was pursuing his life, and he had to hide in a cave. That's another one of these. There was another one that opens up, and it talks about when men were sent by Saul to kill David, and they surrounded his house. And he actually had to escape out a window. And yet another one says it was the time when they fought, when he had to fight against these two kings named Nahariam and Zobah. So this was another one of these psalms. In that story, David was trying to be kind. So get this. He just decided to be kind. And he wanted to be kind to the Amorites because he had a good relationship with the king. When that king's son rose to be king and his father passed, he wanted to be nice. So he sent some guys to them. just to be nice and give him some gifts and tell him, you guys are cool, right? And this is what the Amorites did in return. They in turn seized David's men, they shaved them, and they cut off their garments right around here at the waist. Okay? Okay, that was an ugly sweater day for those guys. I mean, really, it was absolutely embarrassing. And here's, and the whole thing spirals out of control, and it ends up in a war with thousands and thousands of people. It all started with one act of kindness. It ended in a war. Crazy. So these are all these special psalms that David wrote about his life. Here's my guess as to what mictum means. I think mictum means victim. Mictum means victim. Now you can't take that like as gospel because nobody knows what mictum means. But here's what it could mean. Mictum might mean victim. Because a true victim is someone that has been deceived or cheated or who has had to suffer because of what someone else did. That's what a victim really is. And it's not to be confused with the victim mentality that sometimes we hear about that says, bad things keep happening to me and it's someone else's fault and there's no point in trying anymore. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about real trauma. Trauma in David's life. And how he dealt with that. And these were his special, special psalms. You ought to check them out. And here's why. Life gets ugly. Life gets ugly. But let's listen to how David dealt with life when it got ugly. Let me read Psalm 16. 1 through 11, a mictum of David. He says, keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my God. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. Those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour out libations, which means offerings, of blood to such gods or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places, and surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad. And my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. What a fantastic psalm. Let's read that last line again. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Some translations say, in your presence is fullness of joy. And I like how that's written. What really is the fullness of joy? How can you experience that? Maybe today you've experienced some moments of joy, or maybe a measure of joy to some degree, but you just feel like your cup really isn't running over the way you want it to? David is telling us in the hardest times of his life that circumstances can't affect true joy when your joy is based on God and what He has done for you and what He can do for you. When your joy is based on that. David points us to a few things in this psalm about where fullness of joy comes from. So let's go back through it quickly. Verse 1, he says, "Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing." There is joy in being able to take refuge. To know that when things get tough on you, there's a place you can run to for protection and safety. That brings to mind to me the recent events in Israel. And you remember the people who were at the concert when it all started. They were out there in the desert and they were experiencing a lot of fun, joy at the concert. And then they were attacked. And all of a sudden, the only thing that they wanted was what? Safety, security, a refuge. They needed a place to go. Sadly, they didn't all find it. And knowing that you have that kind of security, that place you can go to, is a cause for great joy when really, really hard things like that can happen in this world. And I would suggest today that, you know, as we approach Christmas in your own home, that your kids, although they're going to enjoy getting presents, that's going to be fun, but that's not really why they're experiencing joy. They experience joy in your home because they have a roof over their head and they have safety and security. They may not realize that, but that is why they really have joy in your home. It is a refuge. And we need to make our homes a refuge for our families, don't we? That is where joy is. And in that same line of thinking, you know, David teaches us, hey, without God, our true refuge, what do we really have left? What is really protecting us if we don't have God? In the end, He is the greatest safety and security in your life, is the Lord. Verses 3 and 4, David says, "I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. Those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour out my offerings of blood to such gods or take up their names on my lips." Obviously, there was idol worship where they did those things. But fullness of joy involves a decision to worship and follow God despite what others might be doing and the other way they might be doing it. It involves worshiping God with others who want to worship God, right? There's no joy without others, okay? If you didn't come today and it was just me talking to the chairs, it would not be very joyful, right? Just me singing. I mean, I guess God and I could figure it out, but you here, us together, that is where joy is. And that's what God wants, you know. And as a pastor, you know, it is my delight to see the people, like David said, to see the people here together worshiping with your hands raised together. And we're singing, "Oh, come, let us adore Him together. That is a great joy. And I have a confession. Sometimes I'm just mouthing the words up here. I'm not actually singing because I want to hear you sing. It's really beautiful when you hear a congregation singing, but we can't all do it at the same time because then we won't hear anything. So, but every once in a while, you know, you hear like, oh, you know, these beautiful songs we're singing, just kind of close your eyes and listen to the congregation. There is joy in worshiping together. And that's what David is saying. You know, you can be with the right people in your life and you can be with the wrong people in your life. Isn't that true? And you can certainly waste time with the wrong people who will steal your joy away. So you need to be with the right people. And in my opinion, I think the right people are you, right here. All you all are the right people for me to hang out with. Because you're good people and you're filled with joy. And I like being encouraged and I like encouraging you. And that's what we do at church. We come for one another, don't we? We do. We do. There's a joy in worshiping together. Verses 5 and 6, he says, Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. This is another aspect of joy. Fullness of joy involves a future that you know is coming and you can look forward to. That's why we're celebrating here in this Christmas season, the Advent, the season of His coming. That's exciting that there's something up ahead, right? If there's nothing to look forward to, then we lose purpose. When we don't know what we're doing every day, if we're not able to look forward. And here David says, there is a delightful inheritance on the horizon for everyone who puts their faith in the Lord. That's exciting. That's exciting. The things of the world fade away. You know, half the presents you're going to give your kids are probably going to break before the end of the day, right? Everything breaks. Everything breaks down. But there is an inheritance awaiting. That's exciting. Verses 7 and 8, I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With Him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. There's a sense that things are going to try to shake you in this world. But David says, no, I'm not going to be shaken. I'm not going to have a victim mentality, even if I am a real victim. I will not be shaken. I will trust in the Lord. And fullness of joy involves solid counsel and wisdom. And that wisdom is good 24/7, right? Day and night, your mind is at peace because you have the wisdom and the counsel of the Lord. It comforts us. It sustains us. You know, there's nothing like receiving the right counsel at the right time. An answer from the Lord. Help from people. An answer to prayer. How satisfying is that when your questions are answered? That is very, very satisfying. A word from the Lord to give you the direction you need and to alleviate the stress and anxiety that life brings. Good counsel from friends. Boy, that can help you solve a lot of problems before they happen, huh? Counsel from friends and wisdom from above. All those problems that become joy stealers. And the fullness of joy also includes truth. Man, truth. People are after truth today. I mean, every time you watch the news or watch something going on politically, you're just not sure if you're hearing the truth. And it's so frustrating, isn't it? In figuring out what to believe and who to believe. David puts his faith in the wisdom of God above everything. Truth has become confusing today. And it can certainly set you on some strange paths. Go down some funky roads. Someone telling you the truth and wisdom and counsel can get your life back on track. And there's a lot of joy after you've kind of been off track when you get back on track. That's a lot of joy. We need truth. And we need it because knowing truth helps us discern. It helps us discern the lies that we hear in the world from other people. We have to have discernment. Or when someone wants to take advantage of you, we need truth to discern that. It helps us avoid sorrow. And we need to make good decisions. All right, verses 9 through 10, David says, Therefore, after all this, my heart is glad. This is what makes my heart glad. And my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. It was the decision to rely on God in tough times that brought gladness to David's heart. He watched as God came through in some of the toughest times in his life. And you know, sometimes the biggest decision that we have to make in life that maybe some of us haven't made yet is to put your trust in God. That's a huge decision. We need to make that decision. I honestly think that joy is related to our commitment level and how deep the commitment level is. Even in our relationships. Think about that. The deeper your commitment level, the more joy that comes from it. Fullness of joy results in experiencing a grateful heart and a tongue that can rejoice. Rejoice in what? Knowing that death is not the end of the road. And that these momentary troubles, right, even if they prevail in the end, they don't prevail in the end because we're not abandoned to the grave. And so we can have confidence in the Lord that one day all of our eyes are going to shut. And it's going to be over. But in the blink of an eye, they're going to be opened again. And we're going to be with the Father. We can have confidence in that when we trust in the Lord because that's what he said. So let's put this together as we kind of close things down. The fullness of joy consists of taking refuge in God, worshiping with others, wisdom from above, counsel, truth based on the Word of God, a solid future, and a heart of gladness. This is part of what it means to experience the fullness of joy. That last verse, verse 11, you make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. I want to talk more about that next week. Because this passage is one to truly stamp in your mind. There's so much more to this psalm that we're not going to get to today. But for now, I love those last three items in that last verse. And good takeaways for today. Something to walk out of here with today, to ask yourself today about path, presence, and pleasures. What path am I on? Ask yourself that question this week. What path am I on? Am I on the good path? Am I on the path of joy, or am I on the path of my own doing, my own selfishness? What path am I on? Second question, whose presence is the greatest in my life? Have you been in the presence of God this week? Because that's where the fullness of joy is. I want to get in His presence. Whose presence is the greatest in my life? And the last one, what pleasures do I seek? What pleasures do I seek? Are those things really satisfying? Are they really fulfilling, or do they just poof, gone the next day? Are these things able to evaporate based on circumstances? Or do you have an eternal perspective in mind, like David did? And I love that he brings up eternity here. We're going to talk about that next time. So I want to encourage you to take this golden psalm, all right, and stamp it in your mind a few times this week. Maybe read it. Put it on your heart. Put it in your mind. Psalm 16. Read that this week. Spend some time in his presence. Think about experiencing the fullness of joy, what that means for you. You might say, well, Pastor, I don't really feel joy right now. I feel kind of sad this time of year. Perhaps, you know, just tracking with world events. Maybe something in your own life has made you feel that. Or maybe you've just had tremendous difficulty in your past or in this season. I recognize that today. That is hard stuff. But these things that you're facing are exactly why. They are exactly why we need to continually turn back to God's Word and be in the Bible, in the presence of the Lord, and be reminded repeatedly, even 100 times in the Psalms, to be people of joy. Don't let that slip away in your life. One last thing. Fullness of joy is wrapped up in one thing. One thing. And that is a manger. Fullness of joy was wrapped up in a manger. So as we close today, I want to remember the announcement from the angel to the shepherds, that was for everyone. And here's what it says. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests." Great joy came into the world. The fullness of joy was found in our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has come to bring us safely to our home and be a refuge. Who has made a way for us to worship together forever with others? Who holds all the wisdom and eternity in His hands? It is Emmanuel, God with us, the very presence of God given to us. And something to remember is that the joy of Christmas is not that man has approached God, but that God has approached us, offering us fullness of joy eternally in his presence. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for this season to remember you. Help us not to forget to be joyful. Help us not to forget where fullness of joy really is as we get with our families this season. Lord, let us really see through all the other stuff that distracts and really see our families before us. The shelter that we have, the provision that we have, the promise that we have of a glorious future. Thank you for coming, for being born, and for living your life on this earth, and for dying for us, so that you could secure an eternal future and give us joy. We are so thankful. Go with us today. Keep us safe. In your holy name, we pray. Amen.